I'll lead you in prayer as we ask the Lord for a blessing on the reading and exposition of the Scripture. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray for that now, Father. We ask for guidance from the Holy Spirit as we read a portion from your word. We ask that you would bless the reading of it, that as we hear, our minds might be able to grasp your truth, and that we would humble ourselves under it, and we would live according to it. Lord, we ask you grant him who reads a measure of your grace, so that your word would not be hindered in going forward, and that it would go out complete. And we ask this in Jesus our Savior's name alone. Amen. We have two portions of Scripture to read, both in the New Testament. Today's sermon deals with faith. We will start in Mark chapter 11. And I will read the first 26 verses. Mark chapter 11. Now, when they came near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent out two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. And some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing loosing the colt?" So they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their garments on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. And when evening had come, he went out of the city. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree had dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look! The fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things that you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And we'll turn further to Luke chapter 17. And there we will read the first 10 verses. Again, as we consider this, keep in mind that the topic in the sermon will be our faith. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink?' Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you not often feel a lack of faith in your life? Do you not chime in with the apostles when they have their request for more faith? We must live by faith, and yet we fall so short. We need more faith. Or, you may have trials in your life, times of tension or troubles. These tribulations try your faith. Test to see if you will act on your faith or give up on your faith. For the devil loves to worship these tempting words. Your faith causes all your troubles. Give it up. Get some peace. Or the devil may whisper to us, "God does not want to listen to any more of your troubles. You're a lost cause. Give up." Troubles either cause us to fall back on our faith or make you despair of faith. The apostles despaired. So they asked the Lord, "Increase our faith." I bring to you the Word of God under this theme, increase our faith. First, we consider the apostles' request more faith. Second, Jesus' response rebukes their request. And third, Jesus' reply about the deeds of faith. So first, we'll consider the apostles' request more faith. Now you have to read the words of our Lord in context. In our readings, we notice how Jesus can use these same words even in another context. We consider Jesus when he cursed the fig tree. the fig tree that had no fruit. And they can use that as an example of Jesus cursing the temple service that had no fruit. No fruit of love, joy, mercy, or justice. Jesus clears and cleanses the temple grounds. Let it be filled with prayer for all nations instead of a den of robbers. And that fig tree could be an example for the temple and its fruitlessness. But would mere words wither a fig tree? Is that possible? The next day they pass by the tree, and indeed it stands withered, right from its very roots. Now this amazes the disciples. How is that possible? This sets the scene for Jesus to instruct them about faith and its deeds. In our text, Jesus teaches about offenses, grievous offenses or stumbling blocks. Now you know from church history that the gospel preaching offended many people. They took offense at it, struck out against the preachers especially. Think of the Apostle Paul. How often did the Jews not try to drive him out, oppose him vehemently, even stone him or at least beat him? They filed charges with the Greeks or the Romans against Paul. Yes, offenses came. Many offenses targeted the apostles themselves. What could those apostles do in turn? Jesus tells them that if anyone dares to persecute them, or any of the believers, it would be better that a millstone be hung around their necks, and they were thrown into the depths of the sea. Now, if you have ever visited an old mill, boys and girls, be it a water mill or a windmill, you may have seen one of those heavy, round grinding stones. Now, wheat is fed between the two big millstones, which grind the wheat into flour. If you were to try to move one of those, you could not even budge it. Consider if one of those was hung around our neck and were thrown into the deep sea that way, that would spell certain death. So Jesus tells his apostles that they receive quite some protection from heaven above. The enemies cannot persecute them without being punished. But there was another aspect. What if those enemies started to believe the gospel? What if their enemies asked them to forgive their evil deeds of hatred? Must they forgive? Take the example of Paul of Tarsus, who persecuted the church. More generally, what must they do if a brother in the faith wrongs them? Jesus teaches them to rebuke their brother for his wrongs. Tell your brother how he has hurt you badly. If he repents, forgive him. Even if he hurts you seven times, and seven times repents, then forgive. Even seven times. You might say, doesn't he learn? This third time, I will not forgive him. No way. But Jesus teaches the way of truth and mercy. That was not going to be easy to do. It was not going to be easy to preach that way. The hearers, the believers, would object. No way would they follow this way of forgiveness. Jews held grudges. Greeks loved to take someone to court. Forgive? No way. Yet, the apostles must preach this and practice it as well. They must be leaders. Moreover, and this is important, in verse 5 in our text, we read that Luke calls the disciples apostles, and that is noteworthy. An apostle means someone sent out with a duty to perform. Jesus will send out his 12 apostles into this big world to preach the cross, to preach forgiveness through the gospel, through the cross. they realized that they must go out into the world to proclaim this gospel of the cross, the gospel that focuses on forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. But are they ready? Are they ready for the backlash? Some will stumble, oppose, and oppress them for this work. Sometimes they will have to forgive a persecutor like Paul of Tarsus. Can they do all this? It's a tall order. This gospel turns the world upside down. It demands also that we suppress and control our own sinful inclinations, those such as seeking revenge against those who hurt us. It's too much for us. The apostles realize they cannot do this. These feeble fishermen find their faith too fragile, the demands too high. So they request more faith. Add faith to us, they ask. They cannot fulfill this task, and so pray for more faith. Think of the self-seeking, vengeful, violent world the gospel enters. The law of the jungle prevails in the world. You take care of number one. No one else will take care of you. How can you bring this gospel here? We sit comfortably in church where everyone loves the gospel. The apostles have to go out to preach. No wonder the apostles asked for greater faith. Now, please note well that these apostles do not proudly puff out their chests declaring, "We can handle the job." Instead of pride, they humbly admit they cannot do it. Also note, they do not speak of the need for courage, strength of mind over matter, or something along those lines. No, they speak of faith. Jesus taught them well. Their task is one of faith. And they do not try to back out either, going on strike because the demands are so high. So we can take some of those examples from these apostles. We can easily say that this task for the church today, this task that belongs to the church today, is too great. It's a waste of time. Let's just forget about the world. It's rotten anyways. God will destroy it with fire and brimstone in the end. Leave the world to its fate, in other words. Attacking the world or criticizing the world is so much easier. Yet, the apostles did neither. Nor do they look at each other, blame each other for bad attitudes. That too only helps the devil. Instead, they go to the Lord for help. They go to the right address. Let us do the same. For with the Lord, there is always help, especially when times are tough. So there are many good things to say about these apostles. Yet, our text teaches that in the main, they were wrong with that request. Why? Are we not inclined to ask the same thing? If Jesus sent you and me out to preach the gospel, either to Papua New Guinea or to the Chinese, we might ask for the same increase in faith to carry out the mandate. The very thought of such a mandate might frighten us. Give us more faith, we might plead. So why is it wrong? Well, in that we consider our second point, when Jesus' response rebukes their request. So the apostles asked to have their faith increased. "Please give us a larger dose of faith," they petitioned Jesus. Now consider, if you are sick with bronchitis or pneumonia, your doctor may prescribe some form of antibiotics for you. And if you have double pneumonia in both lungs then, he might even prescribe a double dose. You do that with medicine. If the painkiller doesn't help, the doctor may increase the amount of tablets you take. For example, he may increase the amount of morphine for a dying patient as the pain heightens. Why can this not be done for our faith? Why can Jesus not give a bigger shot of faith to his servants who have such a responsible task. Surely they need it. The answer is simple. Faith means you trust in a person, in our Lord Jesus Christ and in His Father. Faith rests in a person. Can you increase God? Of course not. Faith does not mean you believe in yourself or in faith itself. Faith in itself has no power. The power, or the strength, comes from God in whom we believe. He determines whether something is possible. God blesses the efforts of His apostles so that their mandate actually unfolds unto the ends of the earth. That is why Jesus does not answer their question directly. Instead, He corrects their question. His response rebukes their request. That answer, if you have faith as a mustard seed, teaches them that the petition is out of place, wrong. They have not understood the character of faith. You do not care about the size of a little seed, do you? The size is not important. Instead, does the seed have the germ of life? The seed that has no life in it cannot be helped. You cannot add anything to it. It remains dead. Likewise, faith is living or dead. Faith in the living God is not a question of more or less. A grain of mustard seed is small, extremely small. It lies in the palm of your hand as a pin's head. You do not increase it. You let it go to work. Let it germinate. Let it grow and produce a harvest. Does Jesus Himself not compare His death on the cross to a seed that dies, as it were, buried in the soil? That seed germinates, rises up, and produces much fruit. Jesus is sure of it. When He is lifted up, He will draw all men to Himself. So, do not ask for an increase in faith. Well, what then? That is our third point. When we consider Jesus' reply about the deeds of faith. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, this is a wonderful answer of our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters and boys and girls. It teaches us to focus on the Lord, for our trust is in Him, not in faith itself or the character of our faith. We ourselves say, my faith is weak, and I do not know whether I can do this. Saying that, then we look to ourselves, as though we must do it, as though our faith has some power in itself. The apostles must go out with the gospel to all the nations. That gospel speaks about forgiveness of sins through the cross of Jesus. Those whose heart God changes must also learn to forgive each other, even seven times a day when the sinner repents. That is a hard command to follow. They feel unable to do this. And how often do we not feel the same? We too see mountains in our roads. Hurdle after hurdle faces us. Troubles terrify us. Sickness frightens us. Death scares us. We stand frightened. I cannot do that. I will never be able to fulfill that task. I cannot. But God persists with this trouble. God makes me open the Bible, makes me pray to Him. And finally, my eyes start to look up. Finally, the promises of God start to strengthen me. My faith starts to live. What comforts us? What gives us courage to carry on? Faith? A larger dose of faith? No. Looking to the living God, the living Savior. That gives me hope. That gives me courage to face the foe. Faith in the living Lord Jesus gives me strength to carry out my mandate, be it preacher, be it believer. We are to look to Him in whom we place our trust. Then, act on faith. Put faith into practice. Be a doer, not just a listener. Let your faith be alive in God. A dead faith helps no one. For Jesus promises the deeds of faith. What Jesus did to the fig tree, He did by the power He has as God, the Word, who speaks and it happens. But by faith in Him, we too can do mighty deeds for God's kingdom. You can say to that mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the Indian Ocean. Of course, you do not literally want a mulberry tree in the ocean. Those delicious mulberries would never grow there. But Jesus makes a point. What seems impossible becomes possible. You think it is impossible to preach this gospel, yet by faith you can do it. Faith in God the Father and the Lord Jesus is like that mustard seed. In the palm of your hand, it looks like nothing, so tiny. But sow it in the ground. It rises up, splits the soil, pushes aside stones if necessary, and takes root downward as it rises upward. That seed becomes a tree so large that the birds of the air make their nests in its branches. All from that mustard seed that is alive and acts. Your faith in the living God is like that mustard seed, not because of your faith, but because of the living God. Then, when apostles face hard times, just like Elijah did after the drama at Mount Carmel, you may feel like running away, like giving up. But God helps you. When you fall ill or you encounter family problems, you may feel unable to cope. Your faith is not up to it, you think. Just remember your baptism. When you fall into bad times, do not despair. Your baptism makes you look up. You are baptized in the name of the triune God. Look up to Him. So too does your faith make you look up. Pray to the Lord in whom you place your trust and hope. By concentrating on Him above, you learn that you do have an anchor during the storms of life. Your faith in God revives you because you looked up to Him. Think of the Psalms. So often they begin in the depths of despair. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. There is despair. But by concentrating on the Lord of hope, the psalmist learns to be patient. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I do hope. At the end of the psalm, he enjoins all the people of Israel to do the same. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption. Yes, by abiding in the Lord, the true vine, we vine branches will bear much fruit for His kingdom. Yes, Jesus promises the deeds of faith. Peter was allowed to walk on the waves. The lame man trusted Jesus. He stood up and walked. Yes, the apostles even did many miracles in the name of Jesus. Please remember, Jesus gave this promise to His apostles first and foremost. They had important work. It must become clear that Jesus continues His work on earth. People should say, look, the same things continue. The kingdom is preached powerfully. The sick are healed wonderfully. Jesus is alive and active. Does that imply we should not expect any great deeds of faith today? That would be a wrong conclusion. God remains God, alive, active, and almighty. God still rules all things. God can still heal when doctors cannot help anymore. God still moves mountains in order for His kingdom to make progress. Jesus promises us the deeds of faith as well. So let us not be ashamed of the gospel of salvation for sinners, the gospel of wonderful forgiveness. Let it heal. Let it restore us. Our God tells us in His Word, "Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." Let that wonderful message be heard at home, in your life, in your family life, in your community and abroad. It may bring reactions. Some may stumble. Some may respond violently because they stumble over this mercy of God. But remember, God sees it all. He avenges. He sets the wrongs straight. Leave it to Him. Do not ask to have a greater dose of faith. Pray to God to put trust in Him into action. Faith, even the size of a small seed, can do wonders. Out of faith in my God, I can say with David, "By my God, I can leap over a wall, fly over it, and I can crush a troop." Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, remember this lesson about faith. Put it into practice. God will surprise you, strengthen you, and comfort you, time and time again. To the Father and to the Son be the praise. Amen.